We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I should say Happy New Year, because this is the first Sunday of the church new year. And the church year is an interesting tradition. We go through the whole life of Jesus in one year. And we have our seasons, don't we? The church has its own seasons: Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Easter, Pentecost. And you know, we go through the life of Jesus not just through the readings that we hear in church, but also through the festivals that we celebrate. And sometimes they are synchronized, really, with the rhythms of nature. You think about the celebration of Christmas, which we are looking forward to. We talk about a light shining in the darkness, and I don't think it's an accident that we celebrate it at the darkest time of the year. And we celebrate Easter when Jesus resurrected from the dead, and that we celebrate, of course, in spring when everything is coming to life. It's kind of like the church year is a way that we live the life of Jesus. Well, this year we would be looking at especially the book of Luke. Every year we take most of our readings from one of the Gospels, and this year it's Luke. Some say, tradition says, that Luke was written by a physician who traveled with the Apostle Paul. And we don't know for sure. But the book is very carefully constructed. And sometimes it's the favorite of people, because there are things in Luke that there are not found in other Gospels. In Luke, we find this Christmas story. Luke is a great, as Luke tells the story of Jesus, we see that Jesus is the champion of the underdog, especially in the Gospel of Luke. Women and those who are ill and those who are poor are held up in the book of Luke. They're given a high position in Jesus' ministry. And then there are 18 different parables that only appear in Luke. Some of our favorites, like the Good Samaritan or the Prodigal Son. Well, this Sunday is the first Sunday in the season of Advent. Advent means coming. And lately, we have started to think of Advent as preparation for the coming of Christmas. But originally, it was preparation for the second coming of Jesus in glory. And now, after this Sunday, we will start to get into the life of Jesus. We'll hear about his ministry through the words of the John the Baptist for the next two Sundays. And the last Sunday, we'll hear the story of Mary going to visit Elizabeth after she knows she's going to have Jesus. But this Sunday, the first Sunday in Advent, it's kind of just for us. There are words of caution and words of hope just for us, we who are in between times, in between the first coming of Jesus as a baby and his final coming in glory. It's not an easy place to be in between, and it wasn't easy for the early church people either. In fact, the people that probably were in the community of Luke, for whom he wrote the gospel, were people who may have lived through the terror of the Romans assaulting Jerusalem and leveling it, killing people, destroying everything. And they must have felt, when they were in the midst of this, that it was kind of the end of the world. They must have resonated with the words that Jesus said in today's gospel, that there would be these cosmic signs that would cause unbelievers to faint in fear. They must have felt, you know, that the world was coming to an end. But what Jesus said is that when those signs come, don't be afraid. Stand up and lift your head up. He says, because your redemption is coming close. He says, just as a tree will leaf out and you know that summer's on its way, when you see these cosmic signs, the end of the world coming, it's a time of joy and anticipation, because it's a time when Jesus will return. One man who found a way to feel joy and anticipation in the midst of signs of distress was the man who wrote the first hymn that we sang this morning. His name is was Philip Nicolai, and he was he wrote both the words and the melody, and he was actually a Lutheran pastor in a small town in Germany. The terror that he was living with was the plague. Now, I don't know what you've read and learned about in school, those of you who are students, but as I understand it, the plague had different forms. Sometimes it was called the Black Death. Sometimes it was the bubonic plague. And it may have been different strains of disease. But I had not realized that it attacked civilization in waves, beginning in the 1300s all the way through the 1800s. And when it did, people died. It depended where you lived, but it could be 10% of the population, or as much as 50% of the population died from the plague. Now, Philip Nicolai found himself, you know, surrounded by death. And even this young 15-year-old boy who was his student had died. And yet, in the midst of this death and sadness, he wrote this hymn, which you may have noticed is so upbeat. It's so full of joy and excitement, really, in looking forward to the end of the world. He called it his mirror of joy. And he said, if I die in the plague, then this I will leave this as a reminder that as a Christian, I was able to die with joy and contentment. And he said, and if I make it through the plague, then it will be a song that will help others who are sick. He knew that what he was going through now, as terrible as it was, wasn't the final life before him. And that he looked forward to an end to this terrible time, but a time when the bad things of the world would be displaced by the coming kingdom of Christ. It is hard for us, maybe to, you know, understand what he was going through because we aren't in a country at war and we're not dealing with the plague. But we have things that give maybe a low-grade anxiety in our lives, you know, the rumbling of fear underneath everything. We know, for instance, that there's certainly violence in the world. Right now, it seems like all the explosions are across the ocean, but we know they can be here too. Hopefully, we are not hearing gunshots in our neighborhoods, but they're not far away. And we know this. We listen to the news. We watch the stock markets. We know that can be very fickle. We know that there's disease in our lives that we're dealing with or that we could be dealing with. Even the voices of people we love, their expectations for us start to work on this anxiety. And then there's that clock that's ticking, and we know there are just so many days left before Christmas. And all of this together can be a problem. Jesus says, watch out, because your reaction to these tensions and these fears and these frustrations might be very harmful. He says you might be tempted to live a life of dissipation. And I guess in modern terms we would say we might be tempted to tune out everything, you know, and listen to our music or watch or play our video games. Or we might be tempted to, you know, drown our sorrows in drinking or in parties. Maybe a more tempting way to deal with this is to throw ourselves more deeply into whatever we're doing and try to do it perfectly. Try to kind of earn our way out of these dangers. So we might find ourselves working extra hours in hopes of getting that promotion, or doing extra credit work in hopes of getting that A in that class we're having trouble in. Or maybe we are poring over the ads, trying to find the perfect gift for everyone on our Christmas list. Jesus says, be careful. This is a trap. Because these reactions are like a weight on our back. They weigh us down. And as we demonstrated with the children, all you can see when you're bent over are your own feet. You can't see the beauty of the world. You certainly can't see what's going on in other people's lives. Martin Luther had a Latin phrase, in curvatus in te. He said, we are bent over on ourselves. All the things in the world are pulled in to make us happy and to dissolve our fears. We become very selfish. But Jesus has a word for us today. And that word is, stand up. You can pray for the strength to stand up and stand strong and straight when the Son of Man, who is Jesus, comes to earth. And the good news there is that we're not expected to do this on our own. Jesus died and rose to redeem us, to save us, and promises that God gives us the strength to stand up under these hard times, to stand up in the face of the end times. It is God who gives us that strength. God is like the friend who stands in the wings when you're about to step forward on the stage, the friend who says to you, I know you'll do well. God is like the coach that stands with you in the sidelines just before you go in the game who says, I'm confident that you'll do well. God is like the friend that goes with you and sits in the waiting room and as you go into the doctor's office says, I'm here for you. God is our strength. And what Philip Nicolai told us and what we can remember every day and especially as our lives get to the end, especially as we think of the end times, that the one we're waiting for is not a cruel judge. The one who watches over us is the one who will be there at the end. As Philip Nicolai says, he is our dear friend who will take the tragedies and the war and the violence of this in-between time we live in and replace it with a kingdom full of joy and peace that we will not be able to understand until we experience it. Amen.